All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with my good friend, Gary Hale. And starting off with our traditional question, Gary, what have you been up to, man? And then it went silent.
Yeah, I've been communicating. I was going to give a different answer, but just working on communication today, catching up. I've been out of the office a little bit. Haven't felt good this week, so I've been a little bit slowed down. But, hey, life is good. I'm drinking water out of this. I got this up in seminary. Isn't that great? Spend thousands of dollars for seminary, and you get a good
nice insulated cup.
You can drink insulated cup. It's good though. Water stays cold.
Hey, listen, I got two Yeti deals here.
Those things are serious. I mean, is that the one you left in my car?
It's like two days later and it's still cold. I've gone through two of them so far here that I've dropped, because if you drop them, it breaks the seal on them. Like somehow it breaks the seal. Once it does, I'm telling you, I go through about, I carry two with me almost all the time, and I go through about eight a day of those.
Wow.
Just rehydrating.
Water.
Okay, so I'm a little weird. I have this concoction of two tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, stevia, and a little bit of caramel flavoring.
What do you even call that?
I don't know, but it's really supposed to help your gut health and your blood sugar and all that kind of stuff, and I need all the help in that area I can get, so, you know.
Sorry I asked. I'm glad you enjoy it though.
All right. So today we're going to pick Gary's brain. We're going to see how long this will actually take.
we'll be done in five.
The Dominican Republic can sometimes be a vacation destination. And so I can tell you from experience as a missionary that sometimes it's good to have somebody who's been there a little while, knows the culture, knows their way around, to give you some tips on what to do and what not to do. And, you know, I'm hoping this kind of comes from the perspective, if you want to come down and visit us here at DR Vision and check out what's going on in the ministry, you can spend some time doing some vacation stuff too, and we'll give you some cool tips. By the way, I'm totally changing the subject. That's a motorcycle going by. Our boy, a couple weeks ago was here, military, Curtis.
Oh, yeah, Curtis.
Curtis is, man, he's running second on the most downloads was episode number one, Get to Know Our Leader, 57. He's running right behind you at 52.
Oh, wow. Okay,
the word,
he's catching up.
The word's out, man.
The military, that was a good one.
Yep. So, anyway.
He's a good dude.
He is. I enjoyed hanging out with him. I enjoyed talking to him.
He probably required all his unit to download. That's a little unfair.
Well, we need to start requiring people too. Hi, Mom. Anyway,
he might earn a second trip or a second podcast.
Yeah, we have to do prizes now. Instead of getting sponsors, we're paying people to get people to sign up for our podcast. So listen, guys, here's some, we're here. Gary's going to give us some good, solid tips. And, I can tell you, again, from personal experience, it's good to talk to somebody who knows the ropes. Cause foreign culture is a funny thing. And, I'll give you a quick example, of how I learned some stuff even since I've been here. You know, we've been under curfew for pretty much the last, I've been here almost a year. We'll be a year in August. We've been under curfew most of the time. When my mom came down around Christmas time to see us, and we were pretty much sequestered because we had a 12 o'clock in the afternoon curfew at that time. And but we found out really quick, yes, there's a curfew, but the caretaker guy that was working where my parents were staying could get anything they needed anytime they wanted. It didn't matter with curfew because his brother was a police officer, blah, blah, blah. So we're not insinuating you should send people out to do stuff they shouldn't, but we're just saying there's a different set of what things run a little bit differently in Latin America. And so, anyway, well, Gary, tell us a little about, if we want to take a vacation, what would you give us some points?
Well, okay. I think you said it, there at the beginning that, consider if you're listening to this podcast, you're somehow connected. Unless you fell down the rabbit hole or something and you came across and you're like, who are these two guys?
Scrolling through iTunes and you just happen to see us.
If that's you, then okay. You're not going to like this suggestion, but I'm going to assume that or presume that you have an interest in missions of some sort. So don't feel bad Number one, don't feel bad in connecting the missionaries and saying, you know, I'd like to come and maybe take a half a day and see the ministry or see some missionaries. We've had people do that before. Met a guy one time that was actually down here to do some research in the rivers. It was the coolest thing. And so he contacts us out of the blue and he says, you know, so we're kind of like, yeah, this is different. So we'll, you know, we'll play along. And so the guy says, you know, I'm down here for a conference. I really would like to go to some of the rivers to do some sampling of the rivers. And so we're like, he was a microbiologist or marine biologist, whatever. And so we go and we go meet this guy at the conference. We're like, we should take you to some of the rivers. We take him to the rivers. He jumps in. He pulls out these huge, like shrimp. And I thought shrimp was always very small, but there's a type of them that actually grow almost like a lobster.
Wow.
Like really large. And he's pulling these out of the rivers and he's taking water samples. Just an enriching experience. And that struck up a friendship. And I didn't know the guy from Adam, you know, so that was a neat thing. So if you're going to come to the Dominican, don't feel like you have to hide, you know, or, oh, those missionaries, you know, we don't want to.
We promise you we won't enslave you and make you work all day
long.
We're
not going to take you away from your. Everybody needs a rest and relaxation. We understand that. But, you know, if you're down here for 7 days, you know, 7 nights, whatever, 8 days. You know, spending a half a day to come see
eight
the ministry.
Crazy nights.
Eight crazy nights. I mean, so first tip would be consider combining in some way so it can be a little bit missional when you come to the Dominican Republic, that you could look up a missionary or look up the team. In our case, you know, we have several missionaries, different ministries focuses. And so you could kind of get a general tour. You can maybe go at lunch with a missionary. I mean, there's lots of things you could do even to make it a little bit more missional for your family. So you could offer to maybe take, you know, missionary family out to lunch. You could offer to bring them something down, maybe a care package, or just offer, hey, we're going to be on the island. Would love to see the ministry and would be welcome. You know, we would be open to, you know, mailing something back for you, you know, because sometimes there's a certain bill or something that you can't handle through the internet or through email.
Yeah.
And so being able to get a letter back is a tremendous blessing, something very simple. And so, you know, it doesn't have to add a lot of cost but it could really be an enriching experience. And also it gets you out of just the tourism area because it's not fair to say that's not the Dominican Republic because it is. It's part of the culture and it's part of people work jobs in that. But there's more to the Dominican Republic than just what you see in an all-inclusive. And so coming out and seeing the ministry gives you an opportunity to see a different side of life
in
the ministry. And so it can be a real positive. So that would be the thing I would lead off with. Where do we go from here? What are some questions that come to your mind? I put you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't know. Just how would you prepare this is the questions we had. You know, would you bring a bunch of cash or would you, as far as that way, like, would you travel with a bunch of cash or would you wait to get here? I know, for instance, for us here, you know, you probably would encourage somebody to bring their checkbook
Yeah, I mean, I think for a traveler coming to the DR, you know, they obviously have the Dominican peso. They also accept U.S. dollars, but you're going to get usually you're going to get slighted pretty good on the exchange rate if you pay with dollars.
Right.
But most of these places, because they're legitimate, they're going to accept the credit cards, and so and you're going to get an international exchange rate on that. So it's going to be a fair exchange rate, and just double check your credit card to make sure. I think most of them now have gotten away from doing the international fees.
Yeah.
When we first came down here, it was like 2 or 2.5%. But then they started eliminating those. And so probably not even a factor. So anyway, you come down, you pay with your credit card, and you really don't need a lot of cash. It'd be things that you might want to buy souvenirs or maybe just going to the street. You don't want to have to try to figure out how to pay for a Coca-Cola, you know, with a credit card.
You're
walking outside the resort. That's the other thing, is to understand what type of place you want. I mean, there are all-inclusives, which mean that you really shouldn't have to pay anything. All your food, everything, all your tips, everything's going to be taken care of. Then there are hotels where you still need to you're a busy man.
Yeah, sorry, man. I'm in competition.
It's me, but now it's you. The regular hotels where you still have to, you know, worry about your food. They might have restaurants on site or might be in an area where you can walk to your restaurants. Then there are places like aparta hotels. Now, you got to be careful about those. You got to understand what you're getting into. Aparta hotel usually is a complex that we'll have a private side that's renting out hotel rooms, but then we'll also have, or, you know, a public side that rents out rooms, but then also has some of these apartments or condos are actually privately owned. And so they'll rent out to people too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's just something to, sometimes you can get a better deal because you're renting from a guy who owns the apartment. He just wants to rent it for the week or whatever.
He wants it for his Airbnb. Right. He wants it for his 1 week a year or one month a year. And then the rest of the year, he wants to try to make a little money off of it. But sometimes you get a better.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And now for me, I've scouted out over the years. I've had really good success with booking.com. And find these different places. Allie and I typically take a vacation once a year, and then we'll, depending on just how the year is going, we might take a small retreat or two during the year of just like a couple of days. And we usually on that retreat like to go scout out new places, things off, you know, kind of off the beaten path. We like to. So we've been pretty much all over the main tourist areas of the Dominican. And so there's really neat places there that you can see it. And the landscape is so diverse here. So if you've got, you know, and, you know, along the east, well, along the coast, you know, you have a coastal, but you also have mountains. A lot of people don't realize that we have tall mountains here. I mean, mm-hmm. The highest point in the Caribbean is 10,000 feet is on this island and on our side, you know, of the island. And so 10,000 feet, that's a pretty good, and you can actually hike to the top of that, Pico Duarte. And so people do some overnight excursions there. I think you can do it in two nights. And you can camp out on the mountain and all that and go all the way to the top. And you see, it's just beautiful. You see the other mountaintops in the mist. And in the dead of winter, they get, you know, sleet and even snow up there. It doesn't accumulate. But anyway, so it's just a very diverse. If you go to the western side of the country, you can actually see desert. And so you see when Roxy, our boxer, was a puppy, we took her out to Las Salinas, which is it's west of the capital, but it's where they had some salt, you know, where they mine salt. Huh. And so there are also sand dunes out there. And so we have some photos of us walking on the sand dunes, and she's just a little puppy, you know, just running through. And so you just, if you've never been west and you've just experienced the San Pedro, the capital, you wouldn't even think that there's sand dunes and, you know, and then even like the salt, they were mining salt. And you could see the pile of salt and they were evaporating, whatever process they do, they were, you know, getting the salt out. So it was really fascinating, the landscape that you have in the Dominican. So there's plenty of hotels situated around the island. You know, some like the all-inclusive because they don't have to worry about, you know, everything. It's like a one-stop shop.
Yeah,
and others like to experience a little bit of local culture, and so they want to get something to where they have to go out and interact. And so, you know, I would say just use some common sense. You know, you don't need to be out on the street at 3 a.m. I mean, you know,
yes.
The people that are listening to us, that's probably not going to be an issue.
Right. We heard before we came to visit in the States a couple of years ago, there's a big deal. It was on one of these late night, not the comedy shows, but like a news show or something like that, about some woman here in the DR who got beat up at, you know, she went to some, but the thing is, Sarah and I were sitting there listening to it and we're like, oh my word, because I mean, from living in Venezuela, she's like, yeah, I figured I would go out at like 1 a.m. I figured I'd go for a walk on the beach. And we're like, ding, 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 first problem, you know? And then, you know, second, she's like, so I was out there by myself, and we're like, ding, 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 second problem.
You don't want to victim blame because it shouldn't, whatever crime happening against her shouldn't have. But then on the other side of things,
you just have to use,
a little bit of counsel here. Come on. You know, and so the people are very friendly here.
Yes.
And they want to help you. And yes, there are always people looking to take advantage of you. But let me be just really frank with you. There's people back home that are wanting to take advantage of you too.
Exactly.
And so, I pull up to a, you know, stoplight back home and I see all these drug addicted people walking on the sidewalk and I'm like, where am I? You know?
Yeah.
You have problem people. Sin is all over the place,
right?
But you have people that really do want to help you. And, you know, as a culture, they're much more probably friendlier than a lot of places that you would be used to. So, you know, I like to scout out places on like booking.com, Priceline, Airbnb, whatever, but sometimes what you can find, and I found this like for our vacation, there's a place out in Punta Cana area, which is a really touristy area that's really grown up, and they kind of, it's like landing in a different country in some respects, the way it's organized out there, you know. But so we rented through this booking.com, and then we talked to the agent that actually represents the property. And the agent said, well, you know, I guess Booking doesn't want to hear this. I don't know. But the agent said, just talk to me in the future. Just talk to me directly, and I can save you money. Well, he's saving us several hundred dollars.
Oh, wow.
Just by going directly through him and through his company that's here. Well, I wouldn't have known them without going through a different, you know, an internet website.
Yeah.
But if you're going to plan to return in certain situations, you might be able to get a direct contact and save money.
And you that's just, and that is a huge cultural thing in any Latin American country. So here too. In fact, I tell that to, we've had some new missionaries here. I mean, we're probably one of the newest, but we've had new to Latin America, I guess you'll say. And that's one thing I've said. U.S., you pull out your phone book and you look through your phone book, and that's a decent reputation person most of the time. Here, it's somebody that's a confidant of somebody else who they trust and they've used for a long time. Word of mouth is very much in relational type advertising is the way it works here. Yeah. And that's generally how you're going to find... And it's worth noting on that too. You know, if you get a good like taxi driver or tourist van driver, tip him decent at the end when he's done. Because as Gary's saying, when you come back, that person, if he's still working on it, will take good care of you. Especially if he's done a, you know, if he's done a reputable job to begin with. So
yeah, and then there are things like the excursions that you can take. You know, whether it be snorkeling, whitewater rafting, going to the waterfalls. Going caving, there's just different things, horseback riding, four-wheeling on the beach. There's all kinds of just opportunities. But if you go through the hotel, usually you're going to pay a lot higher. And I give you a kind of a funny story. There was another missions organization that was charging their groups, but they were not really friendly with us at that time, and so we just didn't tell them. But their groups were going snorkeling, and they were paying like $60, $65 per kid to go snorkeling.
Wow.
But it only cost like $30, and we knew that. And so, but they, you know, we were the bad guys at that time, and so whatever. We just never told them. And so, and it happened to us before. We had a group. They had a group. Both of our groups were on the same trip, eating the same food, experiencing the same place, same water, same thing. They're paying double.
Half the price.
Paying double than what we were paying. And it was all because we went directly to the mission organization was using a middleman, and the middleman was obviously taking
a cut. Yeah.
I mean, he's got to make a living too. No problem. No foul in that. But we went directly to the boat docks, negotiated with the owners of the boat, and said, you know, we're going to be bringing groups. We're not going to be drinking alcohol. What can we do? And we were able to save, you know, half that money.
A couple of suggestions here too, from my perspective, if depending on how much you've traveled internationally would depend to how much I would recommend stepping outside the circles of comfort. Like if you've not traveled much at all internationally, I would highly recommend going to more of an all-inclusive where maybe you will pay a little bit more, but there's more of a security blanket type thing. You're going to have people who speak English and all that kind of stuff there where, you know, if you've traveled internationally for business or if you've traveled as a missionary internationally, you kind of understand how the politics work outside the main circle. And so, you know, because when you're inside, there's levels of protection. Once you get out in the street, it's not to say that somebody's going to run up and rob you with a gun, but that's where you're going to get, you know, if you're not quick on your feet with the exchange, that's when you're going to get overcharged and stuff like that. And as long as you're okay with that, that's cool. But it's just good to know, it, you know, if you don't feel...
As long as you're okay getting robbed, that's cool. But no, that's a good point. I mean, no, you make a good point. And I think if you're not used to doing that internationally, then probably the first step would be probably do the all-inclusive.
Yeah.
And then maybe go for a walk outside or go hang out with a missionary for half a day, start learning sort of the ropes and kind of the do's and don'ts you know, of that and gradually increase that, especially if like some people they like to come back and they have a good experience and so they'll come back, you know,
or sometimes
expand it out.
Right. And then sometimes in the process of your first rodeo when you've never done it before, maybe the snorkel guy hands you his business card and speaks English and you find out, you know what I'm saying? I've seen that happen here before.
Yeah, sure.
I had somebody send me, somebody moved, left the country. We bought something from him. We got it shipped off to a different city. So he sent it back via a bus. And, so I showed up there and there's another guy in line. I just got chit chatting with him. I said, man, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cut line here. The lady called me in. He's like, no, it's okay. And so I was joking about, it was a little hot water heater, small one. And I said, us gringos are real, they say ñoño here. And so he started laughing, but he pulled out a business card and said, hey, you know, if your family ever comes, you ever need transport, this is my business card. So, and some of that stuff, first rodeo, you might pay a little bit more, but you might make, again, relationships with people. And yeah. I think the biggest thing that surprised me here is the amount of people who speak English and speak really good English.
Yeah, and that's a big thing for the tourism. They hire multilingual, because here we're receiving tourists from Europe, mm-hmm. a lot from Europe and a lot from the United States, and so it's important to these big hotels to have English speakers, and so they hire them, and that's one of the things that even our Las Palmas, our Christian school, we've been able to see some of our graduates find jobs because of English.
Yeah,
and so. So you don't have to feel like, and the other thing is a lot of these hotels, especially the all-inclusives, will provide a shuttle from the airport.
Yes.
So you can land in the airport. They'll have like a little sign with your name on that. You'll look for the company. You'll walk out and it sounds a little scary, but they know that you're coming. You know who you're looking
right.
for. You connect with them and they'll take you to the all-inclusive. And so you don't have to worry about that element of how do I get from the airport to the hotel? That can be scary for people.
Gary has brought out a really good point, and his 18 years of ministry probably has him a little bit blinded to this a little bit, but I'm still in my first year driving here. If you have never driven in the Dominican Republic, I would recommend getting any provided transportation that you could get. In fact, it was something that he recommended when my parents came, hiring somebody to drive, or, you know, just because if you've never driven in the craziness, it is, I mean, I lived in Venezuela. We've lived in Costa Rica. I didn't have a car in Costa Rica, but we've lived in Costa Rica. And I'm telling you, this is the craziest driving I've ever seen in my life. And most of it is because there's motorcycles swarming you nonstop.
Right.
You sit at a stoplight and they're going in front of you, around you. They go in between to cut and, you'll go to take a right turn and all of a sudden you'll hear a smack in the back of your side panel and some guy got mad at you because you're turning but he was trying to run up beside you. And so that takes a while to kind of to realize where you fit and all that. And then you also have the other thing we just had recently in the team. And these are people who have been here for years, but some guy came up, hit her from behind, absolutely 100%, totally his fault. And yet from the police report or whatever, got her phone number and just harassed her like crazy trying to get money out of her because he found out she was American. So.
Right.
On that kind of stuff, if it's worth it, if you have a driver on standby, here's another thing too, thinking like a gringo. I asked Gary about that. I said, I think sometimes we feel bad. We think of things in the States like, if you hire Uber or something, they sit there for too long, they charge you, but you can hire people here by the day. And if they sit in the air conditioning in the bus and sit there and just chill the whole day, you've hired them for the day and you don't need to feel bad for that. Mm-hmm. They are at your beck and call because that was built into the price. So,
yeah.
Keep those things in mind because when you step into the public transportation side of things or you try to drive yourself, it's just there's a learning curve. And I don't know how to explain it other than you just have to confidently know how to ease your way out into traffic and know when to slam on the brake and know when to hit the gas pedal. And sometimes that's a fine line.
Sure. Well, I mean, you're down here for a week. You're here to rest and relax.
Exactly.
Last thing you need to do is get tied up into a wreck that, most likely it's going to be in town and it's just going to be a fender bender. But the stress of that,
right.
People surrounding your car, that could be a little bit scary. They're accusing you. The guy might try to take advantage of you. You got to fill out a police report. You might have to somehow settle up or take the guy to the hospital. I mean, it's just lots of things that can go wrong. And if you're only here for 7 days, and
right.
I mean, why chance that? Pay a little bit of money, have somebody else take you around, like you said. That's a good point. Now you can rent a car, but again, if you rent a car and then you crash, then you gotta fill out a report and all that. All of a sudden, this fun, relaxing vacation is not so fun and relaxing anymore because you lose a day or two plus all the stress and the worry.
Now, and you need to know too that my sister-in-law, now we had another instance where they did come down and to visit us, and she did rent a car.
But they had some experience, though. I think that was a key, right?
We've been to Romania and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that. So, yeah, we went to outside the U.S. But the other thing was too, I mean, and this again comes into how you plan your trip, because pretty much it was coming to my house and going straight back to their house and their place where they were staying in Juan Dolio. Right. So it was, there was not a whole lot of finagling and weaving and traffic going on. It was pretty much just straight shot. Still some coming into San Pedro. You're not going to avoid that, but it's just a one shot, 10 minutes in the traffic. It's not like you're trying to get from restaurants to different places and stuff like that. So,
High season. Yeah, high season, low season. Dominican Republic. Now, it's hot all year round.
Oh, man.
People think we just have one season hot. But, you know, they're actually right before Christmas, it's going to be more expensive because Dominicans are traveling back for the holidays for the Christmas season. And so then also right before Semana Santa or Holy Week, right before Easter, is going to be typically high. During the summer, when it's really hot, is usually a little bit lower season and also early fall. And so you can usually strike a better deal. And also check a travel agent, because sometimes they do. I've seen good packages with airfare and hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can actually save pretty good on there. Now, it may not be 7 nights, it might be 4 nights, 5 nights, something like that. But, you know, it's worth checking. There are good deals out there.
Yeah, let me throw something else, and this is totally off, but this is a little bit of, if you do get out on the streets, this is going to happen. It happens to us all the time, and we're regulars. I mean, people know who we are when we pull up in front of the grocery store because we live here. But you will be, if you get outside of the protected area of the resort or wherever you're going to stay, then you probably will come across some beggars. And I would very much caution about giving stuff away, because you know, people form opinions based on the 5 seconds that they see somebody, and somebody's got a messed up pair of shoes or whatever. But I can just tell you from my own personal experience here, we lived in Venezuela. We saw suffering for what suffering was when people hadn't eaten in 3 and 4 days. And I'm not saying that everybody here, because there's some legitimate cases, but just be real careful about that, because, you know, if you come in on Monday and you feel real bad for a kid and you hand them a little bit of money on a Monday and you're staying for a week and a half, you know, that kid's going to be hunting you down for the, and a lot of times people around will say, don't do that. Be careful.
Yeah. Even I've had Dominicans tell me that. I remember, years ago, in the capital, we were going to a souvenir area, and a kid came up and asked our group for some money. And, you know, we had an older guy there that was standing on the sidewalk. He was a vendor, and he started yelling at the kid. And so we were asking him, you know, what's going on with him? You know, because at that time I didn't speak the language. And so I asked my wife, I said, why is he so upset with this kid? And he said, I was this kid one time years ago.
Yeah.
And he said, but I had to learn that I needed to, you know, I needed to buy 4 items. I needed to sell them, take the profits of that, and buy 6 items, take the profit of that.
Right.
And so he said, now I have this shop or, you know, whatever he was vending there. And he said, I make a good living. He said, you're not helping. And this was a Dominican man. This wasn't an American man.
Right.
A Dominican man is telling the American and telling the American group, look, you're not helping the kid if you're just giving him money.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, now, how many of us would not, I mean, back home, we would say, well, amen, we agree with that.
Right.
But somehow in a different country, and the sad story and the clothes, I don't know, something happens and we're all of a sudden we're like, oh, we're so compassionate. You know, and I think you can be compassionate. You want to see the kid earn, you know, and do it the right way.
Well, and the thing is, it's just a lack of understanding of culture, and it's not knocking on you as a tourist. It's just saying, we're telling you from experience that it is hard to discern sometimes. It's hard to know when the real, but typically I would say that it's the real deal when you don't have a 10 minute story that goes behind it. Just like in the States, but you see, we don't see kids on the street in the States like we do here.
Yeah, that's true. But there's a lot of kids that just play in the streets, and then they see a gringo. Okay. Hey, give me some money.
There's a place where my wife and I go eat. And, sometimes on a date here in San Pedro. And the kids, it's got like, if you sit on the bottom floor, there's windows where the kids, well, they walk by.
La Casillas.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And we love eating there. But if you're on the bottom floor and those kids see you, give me something.
Right.
Well, this is funny. Well, so one day, some of these guys, I hear Southern accents, you know, so I'm looking around and I see some guys are working with electricity, some contractors that are here.
I've seen those guys.
Kentucky. I mean, they're... Right. So I'm like, hey, y'all, you know.
From my neck of the woods.
There you go. So we get chatting with them, and I'm like, yeah, I said, man, watch out for those little kids. I said, they're going to work you over. I said, but I got bicycles. I got all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're riding around, but they come up here like they got nothing. He said, and I said, watch out for the little chubby one. I said, he says he's hungry, but obviously he's doing all right for himself. He said, yeah. He said, that little dude worked me over. And I said, really? he said, I told him I would get him something to eat one day. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, what do you do? He said, I want shrimp. And yeah. I said, did you buy it for him? He said, yep. And he said, that's the last time. But yeah. So they know.
And there's that's a cultural thing, too. If you invite a Dominican to eat, you know, you pay for the bill.
Right.
Okay. And, so it's not going Dutch or anything like that. So, you know, you need to clarify that. And it's common if you invite and say, get what you want. You know, our culture would be a kind of like, if you invite me, then I would kind of see what you're ordering and then kind of be in that range, you know, basically. Whatever you're buying or less would be what we would say is culture appropriate. But here, if you invite and you say, get what you want, sometimes people will literally take you up. So they'll get the lobster. And so it doesn't surprise me to hear that the kid said, well, I want shrimp because, you know, he's not thinking just a little burger. You know, he's thinking, you know, the best I can have.
Well, and he probably figured if I'm getting this far, I better get it for what I can.
And it's not, you know, that's not right or wrong. It's just a way that invitations are handled.
And a lot of these things, don't see it as good or bad. In other words, when I mentioned about the little kid, I say that because if you get that kid on your tail, every day, you know, following you everywhere you go, begging, that's going to ruin your week because everywhere you go, you can't get away from this kid. So we're just telling you these things to kind of help you out when you get your, you know, get your landing gear down a little bit. And the more you feel comfortable, the more you are somewhere, you build the confidence to say, no, leave me alone, you know, or
you don't have to. And that's another way. You don't have to worry about that in the all inclusives.
Right.
But if you go out to the street, and the other thing that I would connect on that was just, you know, don't flash your money. Americans are really bad about pulling out their the wallet and just, you know, opening their wallet for the whole world to see. And many, many years ago, you know, I had a couple experiences where people actually said, hey, you're flashing your money. You know, and I didn't feel like I was flashing my money, but I had my wallet open, like in a grocery store line. And they're like, you don't need to do that, man. But it keyed me in that people were watching me in line.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, that's again, a little bit of street smarts. If you're going to get out, maybe tuck in a little bit what you know you're going to need in your front pocket. So you don't have to, you know, with your or purse, women sometimes are real bad about having a big purse, and so they're, you know, pulling out money and they're maybe not even have it organized. People are watching that. And so as discreet as you can be, and nothing screams tourist as much as a flowered Hawaiian shirt when you're walking around. Guys, let me just tell you, we don't wear Hawaiian shirts here, but I mean, you can spot a tour. I mean, it's just like instant.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, Gary, but I've lived in three countries now. I've lived in Costa Rica almost a year. I've lived in Venezuela. And I'm just telling you, I don't care if it's flowered shirt or not. It could be a nice polo or whatever. You can spot gringos have a certain stride to them. They walk a certain way.
Well, the way they're looking and taking everything in like they didn't.
I'm just telling you, in Costa Rica, I remember being on a bus with my wife and looking at somebody going, I think that's a gringo. And sure enough,
but 100%, if you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt,
you're looking for a beggar to ask you for money. Right.
It's like screaming signals are going off.
Yeah. Alarms. The biggest, and Gary brought out a great point. And a lot of times in the all inclusives, you've already paid for that stuff. So you shouldn't have to be. And I would also check and just see, like, in Venezuela, we went on a family vacation, which is so funny because it was little of nothing because we were in the good part of the hyperinflation where our money was worth more. Then right now they're paying like $6 a gallon for gasoline there.
Yeah.
I filled my car up 60 something times for one penny. And now they're paying $6 a gallon.
That's hard to believe.
But, you can run your tab up with food or whatever extras and then go in one time a day and take care of that with your credit card rather than swiping your credit cards. Cause you've got to think about that every time you swipe. You're showing people you've got cash, you've got money, they don't know how much they don't know if you've just eaten lobster, or if you just got hors d'oeuvres, but whatever you got, if they see you swiping your card 10 times a day, they're assuming that you've got, you know, you can back that up. And so you make yourself that's never happened to us. Has it ever happened to you guys? Have you ever been anything like that happen to you?
No, we've had a couple times where after we have used it in a certain place, then we had some, But
fraudulent American, charges.
Yeah, fraudulent charges. But American, but we never could pin it down where it was. But American Express for us, maybe they need to give us a little bit of money
for their fraud department.
Right. But they did an excellent job. I mean, just no problem. We'll kick you out of car, you know, right today. And so
cool.
That was good. So it's only happened to us twice that I can remember in 18 years.
Okay.
Most places, and we wouldn't use it everywhere. We definitely wouldn't use a debit card here. Some people do. They don't have a problem. But, you know, there's it's just different. That setup is just different.
Mm-hmm.
As far as people, card readers and things like that, the ATMs, and you don't know what's really going on. And usually an ATM, you don't have privacy. You have this line of 20 people.
Well, and that's the thing. If that's watching you. You just brought up a great point, too. Don't think you're going to come here and go to an ATM. You better plan an hour or two just to be in line at an ATM and then hope the ATM accepts your card, because it's depending on the bank and depending on your bank and a lot of stuff. It's just better.
But check this out. This is a solution. Let's say you're going to come down. You're not going to do the all-inclusive. You're going to do a hotel that's situated in a place where you can go out and get some, and you're like, how am I going to change my money? Well, that's where you're going to connect with your missionaries and say, hey, I'd love to come over and see the ministry. Maybe you could help me get a money exchange. That's an easy solution. We can go to lunch. We can show you the ministry. We can get your money exchanged. We can make sure you get to your hotel. I mean, that's just That's just being Christian brothers. That's
actually the I'll call it the cool part of it, because something I'll share with you from our experience. I will never forget our first day in Costa Rica. It was my first time living outside the U.S. So we get to this house. It's fully furnished, but we get to this house and I'm like, what do we do?
No.
I don't know where to get money. I don't know where to get food. I don't know where to get anything. I'm literally a prisoner inside of my own house, because I can't provide for my family right now. I don't even know where to go. So, man, Gary's got a great point. I mean, we're here and we know the places that are safe. There's Casa de Cambios. There's places where you can change money all over the city. But we know places that are pretty secure. We can go up there with you. So you've got another person that's walking with you. We know where a hotel is, for instance, here right in town. Right next to the grocery store. So any kind of supplies that you would need, mm-hmm. even the clothing and stuff like that, they have some of that there. So you can find pretty much anything you would need, and other things within walking distance. So,
Or if you wanted to, you know, take a day and go to the capital, maybe you could see the historical fort, Columbus Fort, or take a snorkeling day or something like that. Again, you know, we have some of those connections that can, you know, make it. Or if you know one of the guys on our team, offer to, that they go out there with you, you know?
Or we have people too, like Pastor Moda, who makes a little extra money when people come, who drives the bus and can take you everywhere you need to go. Even luggage wise, somebody who you can trust if you get off the bus, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things you got to think about, because you stop somewhere. If you're traveling on just a regular bus, if you have your own belongings, they've got to take them off everywhere you go. You've got to always, but I know with us, when he's picked us up from the airport or whatever, you can safely and confidently leave your stuff on the bus, go get your hamburger from Burger King or whatever, and get back on and not be afraid that somebody's going through your stuff or whatever. So there's a lot of benefits of that. And we certainly would love to, because it helps. It helps him too. It helps the Dominican.
Yeah. So anywhere we can help you. I mean, let me give you real quick. I know we need to close this up, but just, you know, some different areas of the country. If you're listening and thinking about it, I mean, if you want to go where the movie stars go, Casa de Campo in La Romana, it's about 30 minutes away from us. They have like 3 golf courses in there. And world famous Teeth of the Dog sits along the coast. Also, Pete Dye designed a course, Dive 4. And then there's another course. So you can really spend all your time. They have a movie theater in there. They have a marina. They have an overlooking the canyon that was made to look like an old European little settlement called Altos de Chavon. And so Casa de Campo. But you're going to pay a good price. You might be able to rent privately, but you're talking probably a couple $1,000, you know, per week. But maybe you catch a good deal. But Casa de Campo, ex-presidents Bush and Clinton both have vacationed there. A lot of movie stars are in and out of there, singers. They have an amphitheater that they have done different concerts, and people, I don't know the names. Allison knows the names. You know, she's more versed in
that's another podcast, Gary.
That's another culture. But anyway, they haven't had any Southern gospel groups, I don't think. But anyway, this is
Gold like City has not been there.
Gold City has not been there. Casa de Campo is sort of has been the standard setter for all these years. Now there's a place further east which would be about an hour and a half from us, hour and 15, hour and a half, Punta Cana, which is where, I mean, their airport is actually handling more tourists than even Santo Domingo. But in Punta Cana, you have a lot of the all inclusives. And then you have a place called Cap Cana, which is probably a half a step, a full step ahead of even Punta Cana. Cap Cana, is, you know, they have a marina, they have, condos that sit on the marina. They also have stretches of beaches with big, big houses and villas. And so Cap Cana, Punta Cana, Bávaro, is all on the east. You could go up in Samaná, which is the peninsula, and it's in the Bay of Samaná between the end of January and usually I think it's the end of March, a couple months there, or April. You can see the whales coming into the so you can take whale excursions. And that's pretty cool.
If you drive by Barrio Hasim and drive in front of my house and I've got my shirt off, you can also see the whales.
You're not charging $50.
No. I should though. I should.
You need to pay people. I'm sorry for that.
I'll even stand and go, ooh.
So, you know, you've got the capital with the old historical ruins. North side of the island, you've got some cool beaches. West, you've got the far west, Rocky Cliffs and Barahona. One of the areas that they're going to, I mean, you're almost right on the border. Bahia de las Águilas, the Bay of Eagles, is a really untouched, but it's untouched till now. They're about to build a whole bunch of hotels, but just a beautiful, beautiful bay. And a lot of people like to go out there.
And if you like the small town feel too, what was the place that you and I and Allison and Sarah went to when we came to visit? Little Bahibe?
Oh, Bahibe is right on the other side of La Romana. So it's between La Romana and Punta Cana. So a little bit smaller town. You have all inclusive, but then you also have like these little restaurants that sit right on the bay.
Yeah, but it was like almost had a little bit of a European feel to it.
Yeah,
and
European influence.
And it was really cool because like it wasn't just overrun. So if you're one that doesn't like to be in the middle of the crowds, we had a nice little dinner, sit and watch the sunset there with some beautiful boats right out in the out in the bay.
Yeah, there's little places like that. There's a place that I like to go to get away on the other side of Samaná, called Sabana de la Mar, and there's an eco hotel there, and it's just in the mountains.
It's
pretty up in the mountains in the western side. We have there's a place that we've stayed at, a hotel that sits right on the. You can get a room that sits right looking out onto a river, so it's rushing over the rocks. It's, you know, you can hear it in your room with the windows, you know, the doors closed, and so it's just very, very relaxing. So in the, you know, especially early on, we kind of retreated to that. And so you get to this place, and it's in the middle of nowhere, and people are like, how in the world did you find that? I actually learned that from an experienced missionary. He said, hey, if you want to get away in the mountains, here's a place. He handed me that tip. We went there, and then we did a marriage retreat up there once or twice. Cool. And so, again, you just, having lived here for a long time, you hear about these nooks and crannies, and, you know, we know the big places, but then also off the beaten path. There are a lot of cool places here in the Dominican Republic. And so if you're a little bit venturesome, you know, we'd invite you to come down here and, you know, contact us. And maybe we can help steer you, you know, steer you right. And it'd be a positive thing because we would love for you to come back and just keep coming back.
So we need to close out with one thing, Gary. How do we tell them to get a hold of us? I've got the email here you can write us at. It's drvisionlife365@gmail.com. So if you want to email us, that's our podcast deal. How about getting hold of the team? Would you have them go through the website?
Yeah, or they could just email us and then you could forward it over.
Okay.
And that would probably be the easiest. Or they could write us at team.dr@dbmi.org. So that's team.dr@dmi.org. .org.
And so you guys are welcome to get a hold of us through either one of those means. We have people who have done this quite a bit to find good prices for groups and stuff. So if you got questions and you want to feel part of the ministry too, we're not pushing you, we're not forcing you, but we'd love for you to see what we're doing. And man, if nothing else, pray for us and see what God's doing here in the Dominican Republic. So if you decide to vacation here, you know you got some friends here in San Pedro that'd be glad to help you get hooked up.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it'd be our pleasure to help you out. We want you to love it. I mean, we want you to fall in love with the country like we have.
Yep.
And so having people come down here is great for the country. It's great for, you know, it's hopefully it'd be a great experience for your family and kind of stretch your vision of what's going on here. And so, yeah, contact us if we can in any way help.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for our podcast today. We thank you guys for listening to us. Definitely get in touch with us if you're thinking about heading this way, and we would love to hook you up. Thanks again, guys.